Hey gang, Jeff here with a quick preamble to let you know that, you know, while I know you don't look to Cruel to Rewind for biting political commentary, I also don't want you to think that Queen Bees and I have our heads in the sand. This episode was recorded on January 3rd before the madness in our nation's capital went down, which is why you won't hear a reference to that, just in case you're wondering. We both love you so much, and we hope that you are otherwise having a safe and happy new year, and we can't wait to talk to you next time. Also, sorry this episode took so long. Last week was a bit distracting. I think you'll agree with me there. Okay, enjoy the episode. Bye. We're going to have a nice fun time on this podcast. First one of the year.
Stumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen, stumble in the bathroom, stumble to the living room, stumble out the door and pass my car.
Wait a minute. Oh, it's one of those
through the office, stumble to the gym, stumble
one of those digital shorts.
Down the street into a bar.
Wow. Almost had me. Mario Batali?
No! No! No!
I don't think so. You almost had us fooled, Sandberg, whatever your name is. All right, let's really get into it.
What a rat.
What a liar.
What a creep.
Yeah.
We have to do something. We can't just keep him here forever.
Oh, you heard him. He don't believe us.
He wants to prosecute.
Well, why wouldn't he? He's got you for poisoning him and me for roping him and you for acting like he was first prize at a turkey shoot.
Is that one of them marijuana cigarettes?
Whoa! Uh-oh. That's intense. This film has drug use in it.
I tell you what.
Hey, Angie and Jeff, what's up?
I got a movie in my head. You want to see it?
Hot and fresh theme music.
That's me.
That's her. New year, new tunes.
That's you.
Hey, wow. Hey.
Please rewind this cassette before returning it to your video library.
Ooh.
Hey.
It's fun.
Trick ending. Yeah, a little bit of a new sheen on the theme music for you all. I hope you enjoyed that.
Coming in hot in 2021.
I hope it was nice and funky for you. Welcome back to our regularly scheduled movie programming. This is episode 32 of Cruel to Rewind, where, as the theme song told you, Queen Bees picks a movie and then Prince Jeffrey picks a movie. I'm Jeff.
I'm Angie. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's great to be here. Yeah, hope you like that theme music. I'm reminded of a quote by one of the guys from Fish. It's
cool,
as funky,
man.
It's as funky as James Brown on his worst day, which is still pretty funky. But yeah, I used to waste a lot of time listening to Fish before I knew how precious time was and that every moment is a gift.
No time is wasted listening to music.
That's true.
No matter what it is.
Okay.
Okay?
Great.
Oh, no. I was going to listen to that, but then I just carried on living my life.
We have exciting news in the merch department.
Yeah, we have t-shirts and a hoodie now available for sale. If you'd like to support this show, listening is great, but buying shit is great too.
Yeah. It's been my dream for a long time.
Yes.
To sell t-shirts.
Yes.
It's a humble dream, a modest dream, but it's a dream nonetheless.
Swag. Stuff we all get. I basically decorated my condo for free with all of my swag.
We shopped around, tried some products, ordered a few things, but we found a nice site called Threadless that... it's close to home. It's based out of Chicago, and
that's right.
Their products are good quality. So we've just got a simple t-shirt and hoodie T-shirt comes in black or blue. Hoodie comes in a pinkish color. Mm-hmm. A little different than maybe what you have seen on our social media. We had some cool stuff, but we didn't quite like that site.
Yeah.
The quality was meh.
We had some hoodies that looked great on first glance that sort of disintegrated after a few washes.
Yeah, that's no good.
That's no good. What you guys don't realize is that we've been beta testing products for like 2 months, spending our own money and trying on different things to get it right for you.
Dongle.
Yeah.
And we hope we have the results.
We have a few other goodies that we can't sell in this particular store, like beanies and coasters and mouse pads. So we have a few sitting around. So maybe we'll do like a little contest or something and give a few away.
Yeah, the mouse pads are super cool.
Yeah, they are cool. And still very useful.
Yeah. Before too long, we might even have a shirt 26 episodes later to commemorate my favorite drop. Exciting Hollywood magical music. What is this leading up to? What could it be?
What? All right, fellas. Somebody put a hamburger in my bed.
Whoa.
Well, if I hadn't just had lunch, it would have been all right.
Tinkle, tinkle, tinkle. I'm not going to explain what that is. It's sort of the entry point for Cruel to Rewind. If that tickles you and fills you with joy, then you're in the right place.
Yeah.
But go back and listen to episode 6 if you haven't already.
Episode 4.
Is it episode 4?
Yeah.
Okay. So 28 episodes later.
Yeah, so we'll have another special shirt dropping pretty soon once we get our sample and are satisfied with quality.
If it passes our system of corporate approvals,
yep,
which is two people, that's our corporate hierarchy at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Between our briefs, our team, the amount of like the ROIs, return on investments, crushing it.
Oh, besides the interns, the research interns.
Yeah.
Mackenzie and
Derek.
You
can go to our website, crueltorewind.com, and it's linked up there in our shop, or you can just go directly to crueltorewind.threadless.com.
Yeah.
Either way, you'll get there and help you like these things.
You're supporting us, and you're supporting a fine Chicago company.
Yeah.
In the form of Threadless. They do good stuff.
They're pretty cool.
Yeah. So we have a lot to get to. We had a bunch of...
We're a little backed up because we haven't recorded. We've been on vacation, so...
And we did do that surprise bonus episode all about...
Spider-Man!
For our nephew. Thank you for those who went ahead and listened to that, even though there was a long disclaimer about how it wasn't for you at the beginning. Thanks for sticking with that. I was surprised how many listens it got.
I think Mo had a good time listening to it.
That was fun. Just to...
That was really fun.
Keep it childlike. And we'll probably do that from now on. We'll just talk to you like children.
My thoughts about movies aren't that deep.
No.
I like something or I don't like it. It's funny or it's not funny.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we do have an email from that was referring to episode, one of the Christmas episodes, All I Want for Christmas. So Mom wrote in because we used to watch this a lot together. She says, I'm surprised you didn't mention Lauren Bacall and her granddaughter, Haley, singing Baby, It's Cold Outside, which I feel had to be a big reason Bacall did the movie. Classic New York Christmas party gathered around the piano. You and I always wondered if people really did that. That's probably why I made you and your cousins sing at Christmas and do little Christmas skits. Anyway, thanks, JJ, for giving it a thumbs up. You are my favorite son-in-law.
Oh, isn't that sweet? I'm the only son-in-law, too.
But
that's very nice. I hate that song so much that I purposely didn't want to touch that segment.
Yeah, it's a really gross song.
It's gross. It's low-hanging fruit. Everyone, like, it's just...
Yeah.
It's so obviously gross through today's cultural lens. I just didn't want to touch it, which is...
Yeah.
Not interesting to me.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
I do remember, though, thinking like, oh, this is what people do in New York City at Christmas parties. They sing for everyone at their fancy Christmas parties and sing around a piano.
Yeah. By the way, singing for friends and family doesn't do much for me.
Is that why you did it at our wedding?
I did do it at our wedding. But I was many Revolution Red Skulls deep when I did that.
That was fun, though.
No, it was very fun.
You're stupid and you're a jerk and you're stupid.
Thanks for writing in. Yeah, if you have other memories of movies we've done, let us know at crueltorewind@gmail.com. Let us know anytime. And what's this I see? We have a voicemail from one of our favorite callers. Let's see what he has to say.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's Adam calling. Oh, my God. Angie said she wanted to be with me. She got to be Jeffrey for me. She said we're going to be cool if she left us on the Schwarzenegger. And I said, yeah.
What?
I want to wish you. I want to wish you both a Merry Christmas.
What?
I want to sing a little song.
He's going to sing? I think I heard.
No. It's Angie.
Okay. Song for you.
On this thing, and the song. It's we did Amy Grant, 1992 Christmas.
Amy Grant, I think it's
best of heaven, hold me together.
Is Arnold okay?
Forever dear, best of heaven. Yeah. So Merry Christmas, Cruiser Rewind. I'll see you guys in the. I will see you. Coming up in the new year, the 2021 new year. Happy holidays.
Jesus.
What? What?
I think 2020 is getting to Arnold. I think he's losing it a little bit.
I think he's cuckoo bananas.
Yeah, cuckoo bananas for sure.
Wow, he's getting stir crazy on lockdown. He's got to protect those muscles from infection at all costs. Arnold, we hope you're staying fit and well. Thank you for calling, as always. It's always a treat.
Yeah.
Whenever it comes in. I'm gonna make some custom music for Arnold. Hopefully it's playing right now underneath this segment because I've made it in post. If not, forget it. So there's an interesting trend that happened over the new year. We started getting some voice memos. So not emails or voicemails, but some people send in some voice memos.
Okay.
Which is why these sound a certain way. So let's see what we got here. This one's from Karen.
Yes, hi, hello. My name is Karen and I think Cruel to Rewind is the most offensive thing I have ever come across in my life.
How could
I stand with Superfan Will in his admirable attempts to expose Cruel to Rewind for the hateful platform of neoconservative non-woke hate speech that it is.
So she's siding with Superfan Will, who has since apologized for calling us out on some things. Wow. This is off to a banging start.
Queen Bees is the new Ann Coulter and Prince Jeffrey makes Ben Shapiro look like freaking soupy sales. You can tell by the host's voices that they smell bad.
Well, I don't know what she's talking about.
Prince Jeffrey? What are you, the prince of the land of stinky butts that never stop smelling?
Come on, Karen.
Queen Bees? You wish you could control the activity of bees, haha, lol. Well, the beehive just called and guess what? You won't get any of the honey anytime soon, lol. Anyways, I guess I'll keep listening. And I can't wait to buy a t-shirt that says somebody put a hamburger in my bed, even though it's taking so long, and I hate your guts, and will now call the cops on you. I am Karen.
I'm starting to think that was a Russian bot or something.
What a dick.
What a jerk, Karen. Jeez.
You can just imagine what her hair looks like.
I know. The idea that we're any sort of conservative mouthpiece is ridiculous. But she still wants to listen and she wants to buy t-shirts. So we'll take
on her. She's still going to pay $35 for a t-shirt.
Yeah. So we'll take your money, Karen. So that was upsetting to listen to. But then we got this nice voice memo.
Cruel to Rewind is the greatest underground Chicago-based movie podcast ever created by human minds for human consumption.
That's nice.
When Queen Bees and Prince Jeffrey talk about the movie and then make funny jokes about the movie and then they play sound effects that go boing and splat. No other podcast can come close to this level of wackadoo fun, I tell you what. Ha 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 ha. It's fun.
Oh, it's fun.
It is. That's from Emma from the UK.
Boing and splat.
Let's go boing and splat.
I think that should be a spinoff show for the Cruel to Rewind Network.
Yeah, boing and splat. That was a nice palate cleanser after Karen took us to... Karen is in another universe. I don't know what she's thinking. If you'd like to call in and leave a voice message, do so at
929-456-0304
today.
Today.
That was great.
Let's talk about today's movie.
Yeah. So I'm very excited to share 9 to 5 with you today, Jeff. It debuted in 1980 and stars Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, and Dolly Parton. I had a hard time finding a good trailer for this movie, so this one's a little bit short, and we'll just tell you a little bit more about the movie after we play it.
Okay.
9 to 5 has the critics raving on overtime.
Bingo.
The comedy hit of the season, says CBS Radio.
You're no fool. I killed the boss. You think they're not going to fire me for a thing like that?
Playboy magazine calls it the liveliest office party of the year. And the New York Daily News says Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, and Dolly Parton make a terrific team. 9 to 5 from 20th Century Fox, rated PG.
Oh.
Oh. Okay, so I'll tell you a little bit more about it since you didn't really get much from the trailer.
Go ahead.
9 to 5 is an office satire about women's liberation, and specifically the role of women in large corporate offices. Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, and Dolly Parton all work in the same office. Violet, played by Tomlin, is the efficient office manager. Judy, played by Fonda, is the newcomer trying out her first job after a divorce. And Dora Lee, played by Parton, is the boss's secretary. The trio, one of whom has been passed over for promotion because she is a woman, and one who everyone thinks is having an affair with the boss, bond over their disgust for the sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical, bigot boss, and spend a night together having drug-induced fantasies of killing him. The following day, Violet panics when she thinks she really has poisoned the boss, but after figuring out he's okay, the trio decides to get their revenge.
Wow.
It's a revenge comedy.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. And I think this is my highest rated movie I've shared with the podcast.
It might be.
82%.
Wow. Sterling.
You know, highest has been like 40s.
Yeah. It's usually hovering between 0 and 16.
Yeah.
That's what you like.
I know, I should average out my movies compared to yours.
Yeah. I mean, I presented our first 100% perfect movie with Mickey's Christmas Carol. So.
Yeah. Okay, fun facts. This movie was produced by Jane Fonda's company, IPC Films. So it was her idea to do this film. It was the idea originated from a real life organization that a friend of hers ran for working women. So she got that idea. It was written specifically for Dolly and Lily in mind. They weren't under contract yet, but the backups were if Jane couldn't get those two. It was going to be Carol Burnett for Lily and Anne Margaret for Dolly.
Oh, wow.
So that's interesting.
Wow.
Those are perfect choices.
Yeah.
Perfect alternates.
Mm-hmm.
Am I about to have my nose rubbed in my own white male privilege?
I'll just let you find out.
All right. Okay. I don't know if I want to. It's the holidays, man. Just kidding.
Who's worse than us whites, right?
What sort of memories bubble to the surface when you think about this movie?
Similar to Big Business, I remember watching it at my grandma's house.
Did your grandma enjoy this movie?
I don't know if she ever watched it with us.
I felt like
I was always... We would go over to grandma's house, grandma and grandpa's house. My mom would be doing stuff with grandma and grandpa. And I was just like a little kid and wanted to just watch TV.
Yeah. Cool.
I was watching it around the same time as Big Business, of course, so I was definitely a fan of Lily Tomlin.
Yeah, that
as a kid.
That's become clear at an early. That's pretty great. That's good comedic taste for a little kid.
I would say so. I think she's one of the funniest and paved the way for more funny ladies.
Yeah, and you remember being drawn to her,
yes,
and watching this.
Like, she to me was the star of this movie. She stuck out.
Did you see when she would sit in the big chair? Oh God, I'm blanking on the character. This just came to me now. But she would do this character where she was a little girl in a big chair.
No.
Okay. Mackenzie, our research intern, tells me it's Edith Ann, who appeared on Laughing and Sesame Street. Lily Tomlin did the character on both of those things.
I think I remember that.
Sesame Street.
Wow.
And that's the truth.
Her appeal is universal.
Yep.
Kids and grown-ups alike. That's all the questions I had.
Okay, let's go watch.
Let's go watch 9 to 5.
Could you rewind?
You hear me? I'm not your wife or your mother or even your mistress.
What?
Mm-mm. I am your employee, and as such, I expect to be treated equally, with a little dignity and a little respect.
What do you mean, mistress?
Never mind, she's just a little upset.
Dorley, just come off it, for God's sake. The whole company knows you two are having an affair.
Who's been saying we're having an affair?
Who's been saying it? He has.
What?
Violet, where are you going?
I'm gonna get drunk.
At a girl.
So inspiration for Meredith from The Office?
Yeah. I'm sleeping with you, huh?
No.
Well, that explains it. That's why these people treat me like some dime store floozy.
No,
they think
not.
I'm screwing the boss.
That's not it at all.
Oh, and you just love it, don't you? It gives you some sort of cheap thrill, like knocking over pencils and picking
sure,
up papers.
Now, let's don't get excited.
Get your scummy hands off of me. Look, I've been straight with you from the first day I got here, and I put up with all your pinching and staring and chasing me around the desk because I need this job, but this is the last straw.
All right, now, wait. Let's just sit down and...
Look, I got a gun out there in my purse, and up to now, I've been forgiving and forgetting because of the way I was brought up, but I tell you one thing. If you ever say another word about me or make another indecent proposal, I'm going to get that gun of mine. And I'm going to change you from a rooster to a hen with one shot.
Whoa.
Don't think I can't do it.
Where are you going?
I need a drink, Roz. I'm taking the rest of the day off.
I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you what.
Of course, Roz is Dr. What? Winterschloss? Wienerschloss from Adam's Family?
Oh yeah,
she scams Fester and the Adamses.
Yeah,
who even cares?
Wow.
Yeah.
If I was a lady, I'd feel real empowered. But you know what I learned?
What?
Men are dogs.
Yeah, men are dogs.
But yes, men are dogs, especially Dabney Coleman.
Yeah,
who plays the boss.
Frank Hart.
Well, that's Franklin Hart Jr. But to me, he'll always be F. Hart.
The first, 25 minutes of the movie, you're just meeting these three women and the boss.
You're in
an office.
Your eyes are assaulted with pantyhose.
Yeah.
Which reminds me of being a little boy and being leg height and just... pantyhose walking back and forth and just wondering why everyone's legs look that way.
Oh God. I'm so glad I
wasn't a creep or anything.
Didn't.
Men are dogs.
I sort of have a boner.
I'm so glad that I'm not part of the pantyhose generation.
Yeah, I know.
Ugh. So they feel so gross. I hate them. But yeah, just kind of like how we set it up. Violet, played by Lily Tomlin, is the office manager. She's been there really long. She was the one who trained Frank Hart. She knows her stuff.
Violet Newstead, please hold. Hi, this is Violet. Oh, Charlotte, I've got it right here. I'm just waiting for your call. That route is 32 via Dixie Express. Don't worry, I've got it under control. Okay, bye-bye. Violet Newstead, oh, come on, kids. No, come on, no fighting. Believe me, there is more than one peanut butter and banana sandwich in the world. What did I say this morning? Okay. Love you too. No, I don't want to talk to the dog. Bye-bye.
Oh, God. Reminds me of calling my mom at work.
Yeah, me
too. She was a nurse. Somebody's probably cut open on a table and I'm calling, where's the peanut butter? Just shit like that.
Yeah. But I mean, everything would be put on hold for Prince Jeffrey when he called.
Of course.
Right? Okay.
Violet. God damn it, I've been standing up here for 5 minutes talking about teamwork, and the first thing I know, you're not there for the handoff.
All I'm saying, Mr. Hart, is that my job description doesn't say anything about making purchases for your wife.
And all I'm saying is that I like people around me who are flexible and get along. So when I ask an employee, especially one who wants to be promoted to management, I expect a little cooperation. You savvy?
Savvy.
Oh, boy.
Blah. And a little bit later... Violet asks Mr. Hart if he looked at some efficiency change. She recommended some report to to make things better in the office. I forget. It's like something with the filing system or something, but he just brushes it off. And then the next scene, he's getting congratulated for his great idea that he stole from her. So we meet Jane Fonda, who plays Judy. Mm-hmm. It's her first day at this job, and she's never worked before. She's been a housewife, but she's recently divorced, so it's very, very new. But yes. Violet showing her around the office gives me a little bit of anxiety, because it just makes me think of walking into a new office for, you know, on the first day of some job back in the day. I don't like it.
You are supposed to go down to personnel.
No.
It's not a fun feeling.
It's not.
Like that first day.
Nervous diarrhea. nervous stomachache. And your palms are sweaty. It's never comfortable.
I can't do my work.
So Judy's first day, and she's just trying to figure out what the hell to do in an office setting.
What the hell is going on here?
I'm sorry, Mr. Hart. It was going too fast.
Too fast? Well, why didn't you just shut it off right here?
Catch you upstairs, Frank. Great little scheme you got here.
Right here, right here.
I'm sorry, Mr. Hart. I thought I could keep up.
Wait a minute. Weren't you checked out on this machine? I mean, any moron could operate this thing.
I was.
Yeah?
I know what to do now, sir.
You do? Well, then I suggest you do it. On your first day will be your last. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
All right, now clean this mess up and get back to work.
Yes, sir.
The scene is really funny because she's working a copier machine that takes up an entire room.
Right.
And
it's like the computer from Mad Men. It's just an entire floor of copier.
And it goes crazy and is spinning out paper and making really weird, like, human noises.
Yeah, I think there's a cough. I think there's a lion roar. But it's full on Jane, stop this crazy thing level crazy, like from the Jetsons. It's going haywire, as they used to say.
All right. And then we meet Dora Lee, who is Frank's secretary. He's got like an assistant and secretary. I don't know. He just has all these women working for him.
Doing all the work.
Oh, good. She's back.
Hi, Violet. How's everything going?
Oh, Dora Lee, your boss wants coffee.
Oh, great. I just got back from gassing up his car. If I'm not filling one tank, I'm filling another.
I'll tell you what.
This is Judy Burnley. Judy's going to be working over in my section, Dora Lee Rhodes.
Hi, Judy. Nice to meet you.
How do you do?
Hope everybody's been treating you real friendly and showing you around.
Everybody's been very nice, thank you.
Good. Listen, if there's anything I can do, you just give me a holler, because I know what it's like to be the new girl in town.
Thank you.
Do you remember? I'm having flashbacks of being a temp.
Yeah.
Kind of like Winston and New Girl.
That's what I'm thinking of.
And just, let me show you how, you've probably licked an envelope before, but let me show you how we lick envelopes. There's a system in place. There's a protocol you must follow. There's decorum and God.
I know Word, and I can open a document, save it, save as, print preview.
Yeah.
The corporate world.
Mm-hmm. That's what I got flashbacks about, of just doing dumb office jobs and kind of walking in on those first days.
Yeah.
Dora Lee, you know, you mean so much more to me than just a dumb secretary. So I bought this for
you. That's nice.
I picked it out myself.
Well, thank you. You didn't have to do that. Oh, it's nice. It's very nice.
It's also very nothing. Dora Lee, I'm a rich man. I've got a checkbook over on that desk. You just say the word and you can write your own figure.
Oh, I could do that now, Mr. Hart. I sign your name better than you do.
No, Dora Lee, I'm serious. Don't you understand I am crazy about you? You're all I ever think about.
Mr. Hart, I've told you before, I'm a married woman.
And I'm a married man. That's what makes it so perfect.
Oh, Mr. Hart.
Perfect.
Dora, please. Look, I want you.
Oh, for heaven's sake. What are you doing, Mr. Hart?
Call me Frank.
She'd be crazy not to take him up on it. Accept those gifts.
Dora Lee, would you grab your pad and bring your pretty face in here, please?
Yes, sir.
Yucky, yucky.
So yeah, he's got a big crush on Dora Lee and basically tells people in the office that they're doing it.
They're doing it.
So I think you can see.
It's a toxic work environment.
It's a toxic work environment, and the women are kind of against each other. I mean, they're judging Dora Lee, so they're not really kind of teamed up together until basically until they have like a breaking point.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a third of the movie is them having fantasies while they smoke of the pot.
Yeah,
and they dream up all these ways of how like each of them would get rid of Mr. Hart.
This is really good pot.
Is that one of them marijuana cigarettes?
How exotic. Back when it was like stems and seeds, basically. It's not medical grade back then, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
What?
Now let me finish, okay? And don't go flying off the handle.
You gave that promotion to Bob Enright instead of me? I've got 5 years seniority over him.
I know that.
For Christ's sake, I trained him.
I know that, but see, the company
feels... Oh, the company bullshit. It's your decision. You promoted him. You tell me why.
Well, in the first place, see, Bob does have a college degree.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. While he's away at college getting his precious, useless degree, I'm working my butt off at this company.
And in the second place, he does have a family to support.
And I don't? What has that got to do with anything?
Violet, look, my hands are tied here. The company needs a man in this position. Clients would rather deal with men when it comes to figures.
Oh, now we're getting at it. I lose a promotion because of some idiot prejudice. The boys in the club are threatened, and you're so intimidated by any woman that won't sit at the back of the bus.
Spare me the women's lib crap, okay? Now, I know how you feel, and I understand it.
You understand zilch.
I understand I'm still a boss here. And even though you might be pretty valuable out there, you better get a hold of yourself. I'm not going to sit here and take this.
Men and dogs.
Yeah, but yeah, they all, each of them has a bit of a breaking point and they all end up at the bar together.
Yes, they all have an axe to grind, but they haven't united.
And what better way to unite with coworkers against your boss than over some drinks?
Yeah, absolutely.
What a rat.
What a liar.
What a creep.
To think he told everybody I was sleeping with him.
So unfair.
With him.
So unfair.
I'll tell you what.
12 years of service and he shoots me down. We've got to do something. He can't just treat people like that. Do what's to do? Quit?
Well, I can't quit.
It's the same all over anyway. Well, look, couldn't we just all get together and complain?
Complain to who?
Let's face it, we are in a pink collar ghetto. Let's have another drink.
This one's on me.
I've got it.
It's my turn.
I've got it. I've really got it.
What's that?
Violet, I didn't think you smoked. Do you roll your own?
This is a gift from my son. Let's just pop over to the ladies' room and light up.
Is that one of them marijuana cigarettes?
We don't have enough for everybody. Cool it.
Do we dare? Cool it. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
This scene made me miss bars so much.
Yeah.
God damn it. And we're in the middle of stinky, stupid, dry January.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't go to a bar if I wanted to.
Ugh, alcohol tastes good. I like it.
But yeah, I do miss bars.
Yeah.
Just the atmosphere. That was a cool scene. But they're gonna have illegal drugs.
Yeah. So they get high and have all these fun fantasies. Was there one that stuck out to you? I mean, I've seen this movie many, many times, but
I thought they were pretty corny.
Yeah.
I think today, if this movie was made, the fantasies would be far more violent.
Yeah, they're pretty cutesy.
They'd be more like, you know, Olivia Wilde in, what is it?
Vigilante.
She'd be punching some pot roast faced guy in the throat.
Yeah.
The Dolly Parton fantasy made me laugh.
Yeah, I think that was the funniest because
Dabney's so good at pretending to be on the receiving end of that.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, it's just funny to watch a man act that way. A manly man with a mustache.
Right. Yeah, basically just completely switch places.
Yes.
And she kind of uses her southern
Yeah.
charm and rope skills, cowboy skills.
Lily's fantasy was technically impressive with incorporating the cartoon characters.
Mm-hmm.
But she poisons him and then launches him out of a catapult chair.
Yeah.
Pick one or the other. It's a hat on a hat, you know?
That's just how mad she was. she wanted to do both.
She double killed him.
I think coming up the next day when they reconvene in the office, they kind of have this secret and new bond with each other. So they're a trio now. They're a group. And I think my favorite part of the movie is the point between when Lily Tomlin realizes that she puts rat poison into Mr. Hart's coffee instead of the skinny and sweet. And then the whole escapade of going to the hospital, thinking he's dead because she thought she poisoned him, but really he just like fell over and bumped his head. And she, the whole time for like a few hours that night, she's just running around holding the box of the rat poison with her everywhere.
Yes.
And I find that hilarious that she's just like,
remember this, audience?
Holding it the whole time.
Yeah.
Easy now.
Poison. Well, it's all over. Did you hear? An autopsy? I might as well just save him the trouble and give him the rat poison.
Violet!
Are you crazy? You want someone to see it?
Who cares? I'm finished. I'm a murderer.
No, you're not.
I'm a murderess. My poor kids.
Violet, you're nothing until proven guilty.
You know they're going to find the poison when they do the autopsy on the body.
I'm going to get rid of the poison.
No, no.
I'll get rid of the body.
No. Violet, it's not murder. There are extenuating circumstances. It was an accident.
An accident? She was thinking about doing it last night. We were all thinking about doing it last night.
But she didn't do it on purpose.
Oh, maybe unconsciously I did. It's no use. I'm going to go to the pen.
We better get her a lawyer.
I'm going to be locked up for life.
Where's the phone?
Over there.
Do you have any change?
I think so.
I just sit right here.
I'm going to lose my job.
Violet, now just calm down.
I'm no fool. I've killed the boss. You think they're not going to fire me for a thing like that?
Now hush.
He died. He's a dead now.
I think Lily Tomlin, did she like invent the like, oh, I don't know, like the talking while like kind of half crying?
It was either her or Ellen Burstyn. We'll drop that in. Jesus Christ, will somebody help me?
It makes me laugh it's delivered.
I feel like that was an acting technique of the 70s that was making its way, still living on in the 80s, the early 80s.
Funny.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
This movie really feels so 70s to me. I think. Yeah. So it came out in December 1980, actually.
Yeah,
so
right on
40
the button.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Just a couple weeks ago. But it was probably filmed in like 1978 or 9 or however long.
Feels like it.
It feels so 70s. I was surprised that it was actually 80 because we weren't really done with the 70s quite yet.
Nope.
One of my other favorite scenes is when they discover that they stole the wrong body. So they think Frank's dead. He's really not dead. They steal a body from the hospital. It's just complete shenanigans.
Yeah. This movie gets dark in unexpected ways. at one point, they get pulled over by the police and Dolly Parton says she has a gun.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton is prepared to shoot a cop.
Uh-huh. She is.
I just had to mention that.
And the way they get out of getting a ticket or getting into trouble is to say that Lily Tomlin is a doctor. I don't know, like, if any doctors listen to this show, do you use your doctorness to get out of tickets? Or was it just so crazy that there was a woman doctor and like...
Right, because then the cop's like, hey, I'll escort you, follow me. And you're like, no, that's cool. I'm just trying to get out of this ticket. Yeah.
But I love the part when they discover that they took the wrong body.
Violet, honey, would you come over here for a second?
What is the matter with you two? We have got to get the... Who is that?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? What happened to Hart's body?
It's not here. What do you think? It just got up and walked away?
But I put it in... Violet, how could you? How could you? I guess I must have made a mistake.
Oh. You steal the wrong body from the hospital and all you can say is I must have made a mistake?
It could happen to anyone.
Oh, this is awful.
I'll tell you what.
It's so improper. It's so disrespectful.
He's dead. He doesn't mind. Look, there is nothing to get excited about. We'll just take it back.
What?
No harm's done. Come on, let's turn around. We'll take it back.
That's just great. We just waltz in there and say we're sorry. We made a mistake. Well, maybe they'll give us Hart's body in exchange.
There is no need to get sarcastic.
You took it. You take it back.
No, no, now stop it. We're all in this together.
Sarcasm had just come out in 1978, so it was a new thing.
I tell you what.
My memory of this movie, I feel like the point when they realize Frank is alive, so then they basically just hold him hostage in his own house while they kind of figure out how to get their revenge, and they're kind of in a weird spot because he knows that they think they tried to poison him, and then they basically kidnap him, and it's just this whole big mess, and they don't want him to say anything, but they also really hate him.
Yes.
I remember that part of the movie of him like being kidnapped being so much longer, and it's really just a really small piece of the movie towards the end.
Right. Yeah, this movie goes down several paths that could constitute a whole movie.
Yeah.
It kind of edges toward a conclusion and then starts another thing.
Right.
I remember, the part with him being kidnapped being so big. But really, I think the meat of the movie is when right after the drug fantasies up until when they kidnap him. Like them figuring out what to do, stealing the body,
there's
taking
a lot of
it back.
There.
Like,
it's
this whole little like action.
And they put him in a GIMP machine.
Is that what it is?
A system of pulleys and levers. I'm going to say levers.
Levers, yes.
I don't know what it is. It looks like.
Looks like a zip lining.
Looks like something that they'd put the Pulp Fiction GIMP in to zip him around the room.
You start tangling with me. You'd better be prepared to play very rough. Because I'm not going to be stopped by three dumb-witted broads.
Hey.
I'm going to get loose. I'm going to break loose if I have to kill somebody to do it.
If we're going to keep him tied up for 3 or 4 days, we've got to devise a better system of confinement.
Yes, something that limits his movement. But it should wear well and be comfortable.
The storyline behind why, like what they're trying to do, always kind of loses me. You don't really care too much. They're just trying to blackmail him basically and get him in trouble with work.
Something about a warehouse that should be full of product. I'm a little foggy in what that product is.
Like he's doing some shady business.
He's doing some shady business dealings. And then later they find that he did fill it with product to take the air out of their blackmail attempts.
Right. After he does escape.
Yes.
Hello. What? I don't believe it.
It's done. And if she's back, then Hart must have been free for the last 3 days.
Listen, call Judy and tell her right away. But if Hart has been doing what I think he's been doing, we've been had.
Don't be silly. I just brought him his breakfast and he's tied up like always.
Or he's just pretending. Look, you keep a hold of my gun. I'm coming over. You just sit tight till I get there.
She talks in like little, not riddles, but.
Yeah.
Like, is that what it is? Like,
just little.
If I'm not filling up one tank, I'm filling up another.
Yeah, little colloquialisms, little folksy nuggets. Sure. And she's always talking. Shut up about her gun. We get it. You got a gun.
So all this leads up to them getting some revenge on Frank. But the revenge is really not satisfying at all.
No.
Because they do end up getting rid of Frank. Like, I think they're just basically trying to get him in trouble, get him fired.
Right.
They do get rid of him because he gets credit for all of these office and engagement improvements that they made in the office while he was, held hostage for a few weeks.
Yeah.
They make all these really good improvements and
daycare center
productivity is up.
Equal pay.
Equal pay.
That they immediately abolish.
That they, they immediately get rid of. But
it's crazy.
To Frank's boss, like the bigwig who owns the company, rewards him for all his great work and sends him off to work in the Brazil office. So.
And it goes to Brazil.
So they do get, you know, quote, get rid of him, but he basically just gets a new big opportunity.
Yeah.
So it's really unsatisfying.
Right.
What the hell is going on? Who authorized all this?
You did, Mr. Hart. It's your signature.
Oh, that's very funny. What are all these people doing here? It's not even 9 o'clock.
This is another program you authorized, sir. It's called Flexible Hours. People set their own time. Well, some work 8 to 4, some work 10 to 6, some work 9 to 5.
Well, I'll put a stop to that. Let's go, girls. Let's go.
Sir, it's working very nicely.
Mm-hmm. A lot less absenteeism. People really like it.
Oh, do they? Well, I hate it. What I say goes. Just keep going to my office till I get ready to call the police.
Ugh. Just corporate rigidity for the sake of rigidity. It just triggers me to hear this.
I hate it.
Well, I'm a professional. I'm serious and I'm a professional.
I did not pick up on this part at the very end every other time I've seen this. It's been a while, but... It's at the very end of the movie when Hart is showing Mr. Tinsley around. They go look at the daycare center that the ladies set up. And, you know, he's very complimentary of all these programs and stuff.
Yes,
but
right.
Then it's like, oh, that equal pay thing? Yeah, we'll get rid of that.
That was insane.
Yeah.
You really pulled it off here. That equal pay thing, though, that's got to go.
Oh, yes.
Sir. Yeah, yeah. It's all right as an incentive, but we don't need to keep on priming the pump.
No, sir, I don't think so.
I don't even know what that means. It's a clearing the decks. Priming the pump.
I cleared the decks at the office.
Man, I cleared the decks at the office.
What do you mean?
The movie ends like 60 seconds later after that.
Yeah.
It's insane to me. Like, I wonder why.
Why was that shown? Why did we need to see that?
Yeah.
Is it just... Was it meant as a joke? I don't really know.
Yeah.
In the historical context, if that was a joke or not.
And at the end, when the ladies are celebrating that they're celebrating that they didn't get in trouble for stealing a dead body and almost killing someone. So that is a worth celebration.
Yeah. Good for them.
But then also Hart is going away to Brazil and they don't have to like really see him every day. But I think he still works there.
It's a benefit to his career. It looks good on his resume.
Right.
So... All right. And like women, they get scared by loud noises. Champagne cork.
Did you see the look on his face?
Kidding.
I almost felt sorry for him.
We did it. We actually pulled it off. And we didn't panic.
And Tinsworthy loved what we did.
Yeah, everything except that part about the money.
What are we going to do about that?
Hey, we've come this far, haven't we? This is just the beginning.
And here's to the beginning.
I'll drink to that.
The beginning.
Yay.
I'll tell you what.
Oh, gosh. The revenge is...
It's not that sweet.
It's not that sweet. I mean, I'm glad they didn't, you know, get in trouble with the law. I guess that's good. But, like, did Violet get credit or ever get her promotion? Like, did she get to like step up? What happens to Dora Lee's job? I mean, the boss is in the office. Does she just get like sacked because, you know, there isn't a job for her there anymore? I really worry about all of them.
It's very anticlimactic.
Yeah.
I got to say. And it peaks at weird times. Like the fantasy feels like it should be the peak of the film.
It's like it's a few different episodes of, it's like a limited series. Like it could be broken up into a few TV episodes.
Yes. Much like The Hateful Eight, it might benefit from an episodic treatment.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah. Because if these things were more self-contained, they might flow better.
Right.
I don't know.
Because, yeah.
Bite-sized chunks. I don't know.
There's certain parts I like, and I feel like they could be really isolated like that. So, that's interesting. Okay.
Agreed.
So, I have some thoughts on Dolly Parton.
So do I.
Well, would you like to go first?
I don't want to steal your thunder.
Okay. So my memory of this movie is that Lily Tomlin was the star for me. She stuck out and she was, she was the number one. But after watching this, like, I couldn't take my eyes off of Dolly Parton. Like, you expect Lily Tomlin to be great in this because we've seen her act very well.
But yes.
Knowing that this was Dolly Parton's first time in a film acting ever, it's amazing to me. Like, she, I think, sticks out so much. And I had a really fun time watching it and kind of like paying a little bit more attention to what she was doing on screen.
It's magnetic.
Yeah.
It really is. I went and found a Roger Ebert review that basically backs up what you're saying.
Yeah, I read this too. Yeah.
To paraphrase, she is, on the basis of this one film, a natural-born movie star, a performer who holds our attention so easily that it's hard to believe it's her first film. He goes on to say, there have been other debuts this unmistakable. You could name Marilyn Monroe. I mean, right there. That's rarefied air. James Dean, John Travolta. And what you'd be talking about in each case would not necessarily be a great dramatic performance in an important movie. You'd be talking about a quality of presence. I love that. A personal life force that seems to take over the screen.
And yeah.
I like the way he puts that. She exists on another plane, as Marilyn Monroe did. She is a center of life on the screen. It's true.
Yeah.
There's a gravity. You're drawn to her.
Right.
And she's not acting up a storm, necessarily. But like, she's got star power. It's like Wonder Woman 84, like, mess of a movie, but you want to watch Gal Gadot.
Yeah.
It's like 60 minutes on acid.
Yeah, I think magnetic is a good word to describe it. And I guess you could argue that she was being a little bit of herself in the movie, but still, it was so natural and amazing that... Yeah. I don't know. You're just drawn to it. And it's pretty fun to see it in that way.
Yeah.
Because I do not remember being that struck by her. I was all for Lily Tomlin.
It's just the power of natural charisma.
Yeah.
It goes a long way and makes us want to watch.
So then after all that, I watched, because of that, I knew that there was a documentary on Netflix about Dolly Parton. So I put that on and they had some really fun things to say about it kind of goes throughout her career, some of like the big peaks that happened throughout her career, and 9 to 5 is one of them. And I really liked hearing Jane Fonda talk about when she decided that Lily and Dolly needed to be in this movie she was making.
It was pow. It was a visceral sense that Dolly Parton had to be a secretary in 9 to 5. I was driving home from having just seen Lily Tomlin for the first time in her one-woman show called Appearing Nightly, and I was totally smitten by Lily, and I said to myself, I don't want to be in a movie, which I was producing, about secretaries unless Lily Tomlin is in it too. Driving home, turn on the radio, Two Doors Down is playing, and I suddenly get an image of Dolly Parton sitting at a typewriter. And I thought, that would be something to have Dolly Parton in her first movie playing a secretary in a movie that, among many other things, is going to touch upon sexual harassment. She's perfect.
I love that.
Well said.
And another fun fact, I didn't want to talk about it before we watched the movie, but, you know, although Dolly may have been a Hollywood newcomer, she was very savvy. She agreed to take part in the movie, but only if she could write the theme song. And Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda call it an anthem. That's what it turned into.
No, it is.
So there's another clip I want to play, just about when she got the idea for the song.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
The thing that struck me was watching her sing 9 to 5. There's a lot of lyrics in that. It's like hip hop level lyric delivery. And she's singing all this stuff and looks like she's looking at everyone in the audience individually and connecting with them on an intimate level while she's like, ding a dag, ding dong, ding a dong, hang down.
I'll tell you what.
Just connecting with everyone in the crowd.
Yeah.
Anyway, how did she write it? Let's see.
Yeah.
So here I am in my trailer waiting for lights to be set up. And I thought, what am I going to do? I thought, well, I guess I'll write songs. So I would just walk around on the set. You know, I wear acrylic nails. And I thought, well, I'm going to you know, I would play the nails, and I'd come up with little things that I would see on the set, like a tumble out of bed and stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup, and I thought, wow, that sounds like a typewriter.
One memorable moment that Lily and I talk about from time to time was the morning that Dolly came to work and motioned us over, and just outside the set, she said, I've just written the song. And she used her long nails as a washboard, and she sang 9 to 5. And Lily and I looked at each other, and we had goosebumps.
Jane Fonda and I were just flabbergasted. We thought it was so great. I said to Jane, this will make the movie a hit if nothing else.
That's great. That's amazing.
It earned she earned an Oscar nomination for Best Original Song. So something else must have beat it out that year. Dolly also said that one of the things that she liked to do on set, because it was kind of like a fun game, like, what, you know, what new verse did you write today? She didn't want to reveal the whole song until, I think, towards the end of filming. But she said she just wrote tons and tons of little verses for. So, you know, there's probably, it's fun to think about all the different things she made up.
She's probably got like Elvis Costello notebooks of office situations just for this one song. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. When she's talking about the nails, I remember I played with a drummer who was actually in the studio with George Clinton, which is incredible on its own. But they were listening to playback of something they recorded, and he was tapping a pencil on an ashtray. Uh-huh. And George Clinton heard what he was playing on the ashtray and liked it so much, he recorded him playing pencil on an ashtray on a track.
Ooh, that music sucks.
Yeah, Dolly Parton is credited for playing nails.
Playing nails.
Oh, so super fun. Fun facts about that.
If you got talent, you can squeeze music out of anything.
Yes. So I highly recommend this documentary. It's super fun.
Yeah, I overheard bits and pieces and I enjoyed what I heard.
She is quite the businesswoman.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it's time for the very special question. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Jeff.
The audience is going to hate me.
Would it be cool or cruel to rewind 9 to 5?
I said this already, but it's like, if I want female empowerment, I can go watch Olivia Wilde punch a guy in the throat in Vigilante. If I want office dynamics, I can put on The Office. But... I'm saying it's cool. Did I fake you out?
Honey, I'm so happy.
It's just all my criticisms still hold.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I think about my mom being a nurse in the 80s and like some shithead full of himself, God complex doctor being a jerk to her, you know, and just what women have had to go through for so long. And it's the magic of Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Yay.
So this is a movie that I want to revisit. And if I want to watch it at least once again, I have to say it's cool to rewind.
Yeah. And I think we're on to something. I think if you, it's almost like we could break it up into like four pieces and watch it like a TV
right.
show. Watch the first 20, 25 minutes when you're getting to meet all three characters.
Yes.
Come back to it later and then pick up on the whole shenanigans of the hospital, stealing the body.
It could be the most ambitious series of its time, you know? Like, again, when they released Hateful Eight on Netflix, which I could not watch because it's an Edward festival. Remember that? We tried to watch.
Oh, yeah.
It's so aggressive.
That was too much.
I'm not, you know, I'm sound like I'm virtue signaling, but when they put it out on Netflix, they broke it up. There was a special edition broken up into like 3 or 4 episodes. Uh-huh. And a lot of critics said it improved what was already there.
Interesting.
So 9 to 5, I think, needed to be a series. And what do we do nowadays? We recycle properties. So maybe 9 to 5 for today's generation.
Maybe.
Or set it in the 1980s. You know?
They made it into a musical.
Like most things.
Like everything. I think it did pretty well, but who knows? Maybe there's a remake. in the works that we don't know about.
I can't wait for Citizen X, the rock opera. That'll be cool.
Yeah.
What?
We watched that over the vacation. It was fantastic.
Wow. Well, that's fun. I'm glad you think it's cool.
It is. I mean, I still...
I get the hesitation.
I was a little bored.
Yeah.
You know, we have come a long way since then, and some of these... But this kind of stuff still happens in the workplace.
Oh, so. Yeah, for sure.
It's why I overcompensate at work and like lead with, hey, she came up with this great idea. Well, what do we need you for? Well, that remains to be seen.
I'm still a white man.
I'm still a white man. I have value. Less by the day, but still.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I want to revisit it at least once. Mm-hmm. And by that definition... Or under those terms, mm-hmm. It is cool to rewind.
It is.
I got a feeling we'll have a cruel movie coming up, though. How do you feel about this movie? You can let us know anytime you want. You can send us an email at crueltorewind@gmail.com. The word two is spelled out T-O. That's crueltorewind@gmail.com. Or you can leave us a message at...
929-456-0304. I think Dolly should be giving me a call if she needs some help with backup singing on a new record.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're only lightly pitch corrected there.
Yeah.
I don't have I don't have Kanye level auto-tune at my disposal in my little studio here. So
you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Cruel to Rewind, and you can go to our website as well, where you can also shop those t-shirts and sweatshirts. CruelToRewind.com. That's T-O for two.
Yay!
Even Karen is welcome. Voice memo Karen. Russian bot Karen is welcome.
If she's going to increase our listener count and purchase a t-shirt, Karen, you are welcome always.
And I can't wait to buy a t-shirt.
She called you the next Ann Coulter. It doesn't even make any sense. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't get it.
She said I make Ben Shapiro look like Soupy Sales. I don't know if you caught that.
Soupy Sales.
It's just a funny name. All right, folks. Up next, we are going to watch the first R-rated movie I ever saw in the theater.
Whoa.
What a Thrill, starring Nicolas Cage and the late Sean Connery. It's The Rock.
You're the man now, dog.
The Rock.
Yes, The Rock. Not okay. To be confused with Dwayne Johnson. He's not in this. I don't even know if he was wrestling yet. But.
All right, The Rock.
I thought.
Coming up next.
I thought this movie was the greatest thing I'd ever seen. And it's like, it's Michael Bay and Jerry Bruckheimer. So this will be interesting to revisit.
Can't wait.
Okay, folks, thank you so much for listening. Have a great new year. Stay cruel out there.
And happy rewinding. Tell you what I'm
fun.
I and stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life.
Step
in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5.
I tell you what.
Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Yeah, they getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. Stop and try.
Damn it.
It ruined one of the best songs.
She broke a string.
Promotion, want to move ahead, but the boss won't seem to let me. I swear sometimes that man is out to get me.
I don't know how these buttons work. There's too many goddamn buttons.
Bye.
Bye-bye, we love you.
I like when Queen Bees and Prince Jeffrey play sound effects that go boing and splat.
Yay!